Greetings, Sister Saints. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, I got a question for you. Are you ready? Where are the godly men? And I know you're probably wondering why I'm asking you, and you probably asked that same question, right? Well, I'm bringing it up for a few reasons, which I'll get to. But first off, Brother James gave me the idea, and then I kind of went from there with it. So he's really good about bringing up topics for me to ponder on, and then I kind of just look at the scriptures and look at the life of a godly woman and just kind of bring it all together. So hopefully I'll be able to explain this and where I'm going. But anyway, I know I've often asked that question of Brother James because we're out on the streets and all across America and all over the world with our website, and we're constantly coming across men that are too afraid to stand on the truth. And I'm just going to pick, there's a lot of reasons, but I'm going to pick one of the biggest issues that we see. And it's like men that see through man-made religion and they want to leave it, but guess what? The wife or their children love it, and so they sell out. And we just had that example show up just recently. So I was going to share, it's 2 Peter 2:17 through 22. And actually, Brother James just shared this the other day, and I thought, wow, this would be a really good one to share with you sisters. So in pondering these men who are going to these unbiblical religious bodies, and they start seeing through things, but they're tied there because their wife and their children love it. Let's read this and think about that. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And what we see oftentimes, and this isn't the whole context of the audio, I'm just going to share a little bit about it right here, is people start to see through, they start getting enlightenment, they start seeing the truth, they start taking action, and then something stops them. And in this case for men, it often happens to be women and children. And it's because they're feminized. And there's a lot of other reasons, I'm sure, but we're going to discuss the feminism part here. And I think it's a really good idea to discuss it so that we can discern such people who might be in our lives. That's one of the reasons I'm doing this. So anyway, I know some of you have men in your life that claim Christ, but they don't show the fruit of it. Doesn't mean that they're going to man-made religion. They might have left. And maybe they're not feminized with a wife or child or anything. But when you examine their life and they don't show the fruit of it, their lives aren't resembling that of a holy saint of God that's come out of the world, left man-made religion, changed how they talk, dress, act, who they associate with, and things like that. They might have some of them, but not all of them, and then you see them stalemate. Well, they also might be in charge of the home you're living in. A husband, maybe you live with your family, maybe your children are older than you and they're taking care of you, and you're to be respectful and obey the rules of their house. But you can't allow them to be your spiritual head. So I gave you an example of one of the reasons why men are not stepping up to where they should be, and where are they and what are they doing? Well, they're hiding and cowering in the religious buildings underneath their wives and their children. There's other reasons out there, and we'll get to that. Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so if you have men in your life who are claiming Christ and they're not standing strong on the biblical truth, you can't be submitting to them unless they repent of it all. And here's the other area where I was going to go. You realize that feminism isn't just a woman acting out of God's headship order. Do you realize that, sisters? That is a big one. You know, women are not to be acting in a feminist way. But feminism in this culture, especially here in America, and I know it is in other places, is not just women acting out. It's not just them teaching doctrines when they shouldn't, or acting like men and bossing around, or dressing like harlots and things like that. It's more than that, too. Feminism is something that men can be in great sin over, even if he's not married, and even if he has no direct female influence in his life. And so you're probably wondering how that can be. It's because, here's one reason, they're fearful cowards. They're not acting like men, and they won't stand up for truth. They'd rather go along to get along and let someone else do the preaching, teaching, and calling out of the false teachers. So they're acting weak. They're not strong. They're also spiritually lazy, and they would rather just sit back and let the women and promote them to be doing what they should be doing in the leadership positions. Getting tongue-tied. Leadership positions. And some of them, I'm just going to throw this out here, they shave off the beards God gave them that distinguishes them of men. They dress like women do, unbiblically, in their super tight, adorned clothing, things like that. I mean, these are just a few ideas of how men have become feminized. And they kind of remind me of the account of David and Goliath. So little David is more of a man than everyone in that entire army that's trained to do what David did, but they didn't do it. So he's the greater courageous man than all those so-called men who think they're men that trained to do what they were supposed to be doing in the fighting in the war, and they didn't do it. And so quite often we see that feminized men would rather sit around and bash those who stand on truth than to stand on the truth and get bashed by everybody else. That's a coward. That's weak. And so what does this question have to do for us godly women? Well, I kind of already talked about it a little bit, about not taking biblical counsel from them, but what else can we learn from this? And I would ask you, how about we learn that there's a warning that we godly women don't step into the roles that these feminized men are supposed to be doing, but they aren't. And I'll tell you, sisters, over the years, I've heard it too many times to count. This right here, you ready? He's not doing it, so someone has to do it, even if it's a woman, and other things like that. And sisters, if he's not doing it, God's going to deal with him. We're not supposed to be stepping in and doing their jobs for them any more than they're supposed to be doing our jobs for us as godly women. And I'm sure you know this. This right here, I think, is a really good one. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 and 28. This is awesome for us sisters to remember. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So let's look at this. I'm referring to this as women, in comparison to men, are the weaker vessel. You see that? So God can use the weaker things to confound the mighty. And the men, as you know, through God's headship order, are supposed to be the strong leaders, going forth in the things of God. But when they don't, think about this. God can use a godly woman to stand strong in her obedience, to shame and bring conviction to the men who should be stronger than them. And we see that in 1 Peter 3 also, don't we? Let's read verses 1 and 2. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And so that's a great witness and conviction to the men who are slacking off, to see shame-faced godly women being bold in their obedience but not taking over. Now the job's not getting done, is it? Now they're sitting there looking at these women being obedient, and they're not doing their job. And we're to just patiently wait on the Lord who sees all things, and he's going to make it all right in the end. And you know, I'll just tell you, sister, sometimes I really have to fight my flesh when we're in the streets and people get mad at us and they call us names. And I'll tell you what, the people are no respecters of person. And I've shared this before. Me being a godly woman, I don't look threatening. I'm just handing out gospel cards. I'll be talking to women and stuff. and men have gotten in my face and yelled vile names at me. We've had things thrown at us. And I have to kill my flesh and the fact that my mind goes to the men that we've known that claim his name, but they're fearful cowards. And besides the fact, even if they're not out preaching on the streets, they're too fearful to even be obedient in their own homes. So anyway, what else do we get out of this, sisters? Let's think about that. We have a great job to do, shining the light of Christ to those around us. You know, we were told, few there be that find it. And so I say, precious are those few. Precious are the few who are not fearful. Here we go, few and fearful. I'm getting tongue-tied again. So precious are the saints who are few that are not fearful to stand on the truth. That's what I'm trying to say. And here, I'm going to read something else. We were warned about this. We got like such an upside-down world where women and children rule. Isaiah 3:12. Hold on, I'm going to go there. All right, Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. All right, so to recap this all, I just want us all to learn to see the men in our lives for what they are. Either they're truly godly saints who you could submit yourself to, or they're feminized and not doing what the Lord has commanded them to do. And we also learn that us sisters are not to step in where the men are lacking. We let God deal with them. And we sisters just go about our lives doing the good work set before us and being who God calls us to be. And we also see the great need to shine our lights and be steadfast in the faith, amen? Showing the way of righteousness and truth to those around us. And all of this may be to the saving of a soul or quite possibly to their condemnation. We don't know, but either way, God will be glorified if we walk in obedience to him. So where are the godly men? I'm going to say, I know a few. They're out there, sisters. And I also know some godly sister saints, and praise the Lord for them. Anyway, remember, we don't live for numbers or groups because we've been warned about the great falling away. So we just go about our good works unto the Lord and let him deal with it all. And let's see, I'm going to leave us with 2 Peter 1, 2 through 11. Let's go there and be edified. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, I'm going to let you go now, sisters, and Lord willing, I'll be back again. Hold fast, and much love to you all. May God be praised.